are the 1, 2, 3
Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. That's why I give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I am pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about sports out of all of us in this room, but I am your average sports fan. I love to watch sports. I just don't know who anyone is, any stats, nothing like that.
What's up, you guys? Rarely do I get to watch the games because I have a sucky morning job, so I have to go to bed early. But I do watch Instagram. I see all the highlights. And I also watch SportsCenter when I'm at the gym without volume. So there you go. I do occasionally see a good portion of the games. Not the entire game sitting down eating dinner like you, though. I'm sorry. I've got a third shift job. Screw off.
Wow.
Wow.
But you gamble.
Someone didn't come out in a good mood this morning. Wow. All right.
Dang.
He told all of our listeners to screw off.
Someone needs a nap. Someone needs a nap, and I hope you get a nap today. I don't know what your schedule is, but geez. So let's start off.
Man.
Hey, let's start off with our game of
Would You Rather?
Would you rather sneeze all the time? Or have hiccups all the time?
Sneeze. One, I'll go first. I'd rather sneeze. I'm cool with it. After a good sneeze, it feels so good. When you go, ha-choo, and you're like, oh, it feels good. Hiccups, they're just annoying the whole time.
I will actually force myself to sneeze sometimes when I pick my nose hairs. I can do it on command. I love a good sneeze, especially if you wake up feeling a little bit weird. Pick a nose hair, sneeze, it's going to clear out your nose, your sinuses, all that. Especially in the fall, switch into summer, you know, when there's different pollen and stuff in the air. I don't know exactly what it is in the air, but I always turn on the TV and they say, there's this much pollen, oh, there's now this much ragweed. Don't know what any of that means, but I do know when you sneeze, for whatever reason, it forces crap out of your nose, it cleans you all out, and you're good to go. Give me a sneeze right now. Ha! Shoo!
I am going to hiccup for the rest of my life.
What?
I am a violent sneezer, like where it rocks my whole head and I whop, choo. It's really loud. And if I had to watch you the whole time, I would have whiplash because my neck would hurt. Like you walk out of the bar from day drinking and into the sunlight and the sun automatically makes you sneeze.
Wait, what?
Coach, you like explaining the scene from Hangover?
Yeah, no, that's how it works.
It makes you sneeze?
Yeah, whenever you walk out in the sun and you've been in a building for a long time and you see the sun, it makes you
sneeze. That's not true.
It does me. I'm telling you how I live life. And when I sneeze, it's a minimum of 3. So if I'm sneezing all the time, I mean, I'm just going to be, ha-choo, ha-choo, ha-choo.
Wait, back 3 in a row like that?
Yes.
Back to
back? Back to back to back.
Yeah, he parlays his sneezes.
I do parlay my sneeze. So I am going to have the hiccups all the time because at least I'm just like, hey, help. Are you? I'm not violently shaking my head or my neck. I'm safe with the hiccups.
Ray, you said you can sneeze on command.
Yeah.
All right, let it rip.
Well, I got to have the nose clippers or whatever.
Oh, you do? See, yeah. I can do it.
Yeah, you didn't.
All I need is a little bit of tissue.
Okay,
that's
go.
Gross. But. He's shoving something up his. That's just
you snorted. You didn't even sneeze.
That wasn't a sneeze.
Guys, I can sneeze on command. I just have to force this up my butt.
No, it's up my nose. What? Wait for it.
Ah,
this is a fascinating podcast.
So wait.
You are so, like...
I haven't done this in years.
No, you hyped it up like you could do it on command, and you can't do it on command.
Oh, dude, my eyes are watering. So close.
Wow.
Now you totally screwed up the audio for a minute.
So that was great. Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Tell us how much you enjoyed that sneeze by Eddie.
It didn't happen. He's almost like our one buddy one time. He got on the air and said that he had a talent, so it's got to be something that's vocal, something that can a microphone can pick up.
That people in their car can hear.
He blew a freaking bubble, but he couldn't even blow the bubble. So he could create a bubble out of saliva. That doesn't make sound. So it was a minute of him not being able to create a bubble. Just kind of like Eddie did, a minute of not being able to sneeze.
Exactly. So go vote on the poll, Sore Loser Show on Twitter.
I'm still trying.
Wow, did you? Clay Thompson just hit another 3. He's heating up. I mean, did you watch that last night?
No.
It's funny, when I say the Splash Brothers come to play, and I say that about 5 hours before the game, and then next morning I wake up and ESPN says Splash Brothers came to play. That was amazing. And
I mean, wow.
Hey, Splash Brothers are back. We're looking at our NBA champion.
They get that from Mario Brothers? What does that come from?
They just say they drained so many threes, they created that nickname.
And that's the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah. Splash,
Steph and Clay.
Clay.
That's
Clay.
Just them.
They're them
the Splash.
Too.
Yeah, they're the Splash Brothers. There's not... anybody else. It's them two.
But they're not real brothers. They're right. It's just a saying.
Correct.
Right. Dude, he hit 14 threes. And see, it's impressive. 14 threes is unbelievable. And he did it in three quarters.
He always does because they're blowing people out so much.
Right. He played like 27 minutes, 52 points, and then he said, you know what, I'm going to take the rest of the night off. I'm going to be over here on the bench. And I like it. You don't try to run it up. You know, you got the record. Go sit down. And it's a good record, but it'll be broken and broken and broken because now the reliant on the three-point shot. Back in the 90s, the NBA, that you shot like three threes a game, and that was it. Now that's all they shoot. So, of course, because Steph Curry is the one that had the record before this of 13. Mm. So, obviously, it's a new deal that it's going to be broken and broken and broken. Michael Jordan never – I bet you Michael Jordan probably didn't attempt that many threes in a game.
Yeah, he didn't have to. It's Steve Kerr sitting out on the outside draining them. So he wasn't the three guy on the Bulls.
Right. I'm just saying that the three-point shot wasn't as prevalent in the NBA back then.
So the three-point shot was created back in the day. Whoever created that, did they know the monster that they were creating? Because it was probably immediately when it was created, everybody shot threes. Then for some time, there was lulls. So when we watched the Bulls and stuff, they weren't that reliant on the threes. Sure, they shot threes for the game winner. Robert Horry was draining those threes with the Rockets. There wasn't that much talk about threes. Guys weren't shooting as many. Now, all of a sudden, dude, you got teams putting up 160. The only way you're getting to 160 points is
if you're shooting the threes.
Wait.
I mean,
you're telling me that when the game was invented, basketball, 3 points wasn't an option? The 3-pointer?
No.
It wasn't?
No.
When did they create the 3-point line?
Coach,
you really did not know that when basketball was invented, there was no 3-point line. If you shot it from half court, you got 2 points.
Really?
If you dunked it, you got 2 points. If you shot it from the free throw line, you got 2 points. Everywhere was a 2-point shot.
Really?
So when you've never seen the old games when there was no
dude. You've never seen where it's a peach bucket,
no,
a peach bucket, and people are in the backyard trying to.
Yeah, that's when it's. That's how it started.
That was the creation of basketball.
Right.
Okay.
In Africa.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Okay.
No. Right here.
I'm pretty
James
sure.
James Naismith.
What? Well, hey. Something tells me that it was in Africa.
No, if I know anything.
No, you watch that movie, The Air Up There.
Okay, maybe that's
and that's what
it was
with Kevin Bacon when he goes over to Africa and he finds a kid that can play basketball.
That's it, and they're playing with a basket.
They might be playing with a basket.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
That's where my history of sports comes from.
And I
want to
say
movies.
That it probably got created in Indiana because they always say Indiana, the basketball state, but that's not correct. And also, when I drove through Indiana, guess what? There's not a lot of basketball hoops. So you turn on those movies, you see Hoosiers. Oh, you see basketball. The heartland of America was created in Indiana. This is where basketball lives. Kids ain't playing basketball in Indiana anymore.
They're not?
No. Playing basketball in the inner city, Compton. The Bronx, that's where they're playing basketball. That's where they're balling. Indiana, playing football probably more than they're playing basketball.
Larry Bird came from Indiana.
Yeah, French Lick, Indiana.
Amazing.
Don't tell me they don't play basketball in Indiana.
If you're listening to this podcast right now, you're driving around, go drive by 10 houses. Let me know how many of those houses have a basketball hoop. Probably 4. And of those 4, let me know how many of them kids are playing basketball. Probably 0. I rest my case.
I don't know what that
Did you
says.
Have a basketball goal growing up?
Yes. My dad put it in when we were able to walk, dude. We had a basketball hoop in the driveway. We had one in the garage. We had one downstairs. We had one in the kitchen until my mom got mad and told us to take it out of her kitchen. Dude, we had hoops in every room of the house.
I bet he was pissed when he found out you weren't going to get taller than 5'4".
And then he realized, wow, my boys aren't getting that tall. Get the hoop out of the house. You guys go play out in the yard. I'm not
your
paying.
Your dad's what, over 6 foot?
Dad's 6'6".
6'6", and his son, Ray Mundo, is what, 5'4"?
And you want to know, for some reason, I just thought of this. The funniest story ever, my dad goes to our high school that ended up going to. He goes to a football meeting before we'd even been to the town. And he goes, my boys, they're coming to town. I want them to play football. I want to learn when the practices are, where they meet and stuff, because they're not here yet. We're moving, you know, from like 2 hours away. So he goes to the school.
So he goes to school, putting you on the football team.
My dad is.
Oh, and so they're thinking these big old kids are coming to play some football.
Coach, my dad rolls into this meeting 6'7". They're like, oh my God, we're about to get the number one quarterback and the number one defensive guy in the world right now. 2 days later, me and my brother walk in. I'm like 5'5", 120. Like, what's up, dude?
How tall is your brother?
I mean, at the time, he was maybe a couple inches taller than me. He's like 5'7". Dude, I saw everybody's mouth drop, and one of my buddies pulled me to the side. He's like, you realize when you walked in the room, everybody thought you guys were about to be 6'6". Because your dad's a monster. Dude,
that's funny.
What's up, dude? You guys need a running back?
They're so disappointed.
Dude, they were so disappointed. I got my hat backwards. What's up, man?
So the three-point line was first tested in 1945 in the game between Columbia and Fordham in college.
Yeah, college level.
In June 1979, the NBA adopted the three-point line for a one-year trial. That's it. They tried it for 1 year. That was the first time they adopted it. So that's how long the three-point line was not in basketball, Eddie. So you know that that's why this record is cool. But it's not the most impressive record. You still have to make them.
Right.
And Klay Thompson is bad. He's a bad man. He'd been struggling all year from three. Just brick, brick.
That's how
brick,
he is, though. He's brick, hot, cold brick. Guy all the time in playoffs, too. That's one time he scored maybe over 30 points in a quarter. That's how Klay is. He's either ice cold or he will light it on fire.
How many did he miss last night?
I don't know. You don't talk about the misses.
Oh,
you only
okay.
talk about the makes.
You break the record, it's it doesn't matter if he tried 100 times. He made it 31 times.
It was like he was playing NBA Jam. He's heating up. He's on fire.
NBA Jam.
From downtown.
Do you all remember the codes to NBA Jam?
No,
how to get those different characters with the big heads.
Oh, I do remember those big-headed guys. How did you do that?
I remember one guy, and the only reason I remember is because his birthday was 1... January, either January 22nd, I believe, 1-2-2, and then whatever the year was at that time that video game was out, and that's how you got the dude with a hat and with the glasses. He was one of the creators of the game.
That's funny.
He got a hat and glasses, and his head would be really, really big.
Those cheat codes, I understand why they put them in.
Do they still have them? Do you guys know?
I don't know, because I don't really play video games that much, but how did they ever expect you, before the internet, how did people discover the cheat codes?
Just geniuses.
Word of mouth, right?
Or
magazines then, too.
Oh, that's right. There were magazines, so maybe they put them in there. And Klay Thompson was 14 of 24 from three yesterday.
Wow.
Not a bad game. And congrats to Ray on hitting his over. He said that the game was going to go over. If you bet money, you won money.
I told you guys to put $100 on it. I said the game was going to go way over. Splash Brothers and the Bulls. It ended up going it was like 40 points over the over-under. You would have won the money in the third quarter. When I give you a lock, listen.
Yeah,
I had people hit me on Twitter. They said, thank you. Yeah, you got free money
you
today.
You made them money. And then you flip over to Monday Night Football, and Eddie takes the Bills plus 14, and he said, take it to the – no, he said, slam the door. He guaranteed
slam the door.
Well, he didn't slam the door shut because it was ended up being like a stick in the door because it opened back up. You didn't slam the door.
No, he slammed it.
He missed it.
You can't tell me the first half of that game, you were like, what? Like, this is a field goal game? It's 9-6 going into the half? Like, what is happening? How are the Bills hanging on? And I'm thinking, like, here we go. I told you guys, Vegas is in control of this stuff. And then the second half came along. And then the Patriots showed up and did what they normally do, and they start scoring, and there was no longer a game.
No, the Patriots didn't even try.
So
if you watch the game, so the Patriots did not try.
So I did say if the Bills covered, then please consider my theory that Vegas controls these games.
And
right?
You thought the Bills were going to win outright.
Yeah, I even said there's even a chance for the Bills to win outright. So I take it back. Vegas is not in control. My bad, guys. My bad. But you can't tell me on Monday Night Football the Patriots didn't hold back so there can be somewhat of a game. That way it was a little interesting for people to watch.
No, incorrect. You want to know why they held back? They just ran vanilla. They did nothing fancy. They just dink, dunk, dink, dunk. They weren't trying to run any complex plays. They were trying to not get anybody hurt. Why? Because they have the Packers coming up this weekend. So they didn't want to put any of their real offense on tape so the Packers could study it. They knew they could just do the bare minimum and beat the Bills. And that's what they did. They did the bare minimum, go down, kick field goals, don't worry about it. Like, they were not worried about the Bills beating them. So they didn't run anything complex, fancy, because they don't want the Packers to be able to see that on tape and be able to study it. Next week, they're going to come out and they'll run their real offense.
And then it's sad because on the other side, you have the Bills thinking like, guys, we're better than we thought. We're hanging in with the Patriots. Like, this is great. And then you say this, which is probably true. I mean, you're probably right. Your theory sounds better than mine. But it sucks for the Bills to think during the game, like, dude, we're not as bad as we thought, guys. We're hanging in there with the Patriots. And then they're really not trying.
No, going into the game, the Bills know they're not as good as they're just not. They think, okay, we can upset the. They have that mentality like David versus Goliath when they go into the game. But deep down, they know they are not on the same level as the Patriots. They know they're one of the worst teams in football. They know that, but they still get out there and fight.
And literally, what is their quarterback's name?
Derek Anderson.
That guy's just been a guy in the league for a little while.
He was the backup in Carolina for years. Okay. He was a starter for a little bit.
See, when these guys, quarterbacks float around all these different teams, sometimes I forget about them. Next thing you know, they're starting quarterback, and I'm like, who the heck is this guy?
I'm telling you, he was signed 2 weeks ago. He was homeless. I've been telling you guys. Like, he literally was out of the league.
And he's playing Brady, and Eddie's putting money on him.
Eddie's slamming the door on that one.
Hey, guys, Eddie slammed that door on a guy that wasn't even in the league 2 weeks ago.
Guys, I missed it by 7 points.
So they ended up winning by what? It was 21 the Patriots won by, or what?
They won by 7.
Oh, sorry. Okay, yeah.
They won by 7. They won by, no, they won by 6. They won by
wait, how much did the Patriots win by?
They won.
No, I'm talking about the spread. I was like, what, 24 to?
It was like 26 to 6.
Okay, yeah. So they won by 21 and your spread was 14.
Yeah, correct.
It's to start the game with 14 points is an amazing feeling. So if you bet with Eddie, you loved that game up until halftime, and then hell broke loose.
It was 25-6.
Until the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, the Patriots got a pick six. That was the difference. Because
that was it.
At one point, it was Bills throw it, touchdown Bills. Everybody's going crazy. It's 16-13 or whatever, 18-13. Here we go, 18-13. Upon further review, incomplete pass. Mm-hmm. Then
I mean, he didn't even catch it. It wasn't even close. Yeah, the dude like really acted great. He got up like, yeah, we got it. Let's go. Move the chains. They show the replay. The ball never even was in his hands.
It like skipped a couple times. Yeah. Or what?
And then McCourty, one of the McCourty brothers, pick six, ball game over. And then the I guess the Bills got down there towards the end.
They got it back with like 3 minutes left.
And Eddie's like, he texts me, goes, touchdown here, they cover. Touchdown here, they cover. Dude, they didn't have a touchdown all night. They were terrible. Did you watch Bills and sit? Do you believe now they are awful?
They're awful.
They are so bad.
Yeah. They even tried to bring in the other quarterback. What's his name?
Well, Peterman, because Anderson got hurt. They said hurt late in the game, and they brought in Nathan Peterman.
Yeah. So I think for the last drive.
Can we say that the Bills cannot win the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Is there a bet on that?
No, you can bet.
Can you bet that the Bills will not go to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
You have to bet $1,000 to win $1.
Because $1. I got a few teams. There's only a few teams in the NFL that can win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay?
You already said last podcast you were going to get it to
him. Here we go. He teased
it. Now he's doing it.
Here we go.
It.
The Los Angeles Rams. If you are a Los Angeles Rams fan, good news. You can win the Super Bowl.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
I agree.
Kansas City Chiefs. If you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you can win the Super Bowl.
Ding, ding, ding. I agree.
If you live up in the Boston area and your favorite player is Tom Brady and you love the New England Patriots, good news. You can win the Super Bowl.
I agree.
How many of these teams are we going to do?
We're doing 6. Relax. Two more.
Goes through 20 teams.
Redskins. Congratulations.
We only have two more teams.
Sorry, I just had to find out how long the list was.
We only have two more teams that can
Baltimore
win the Super Bowl.
Baltimore Ravens. Congratulations.
If you live down in the bayou, on Bourbon Street,
LSU,
and you love the New Orleans Saints, who dat nation, you can win the Super Bowl.
I don't agree.
You don't agree?
No.
Tell me how you don't agree.
I just don't see it right now. I don't see the Saints going to the Super Bowl, even just going, and they can't win it. Even if they do go, they won't win it.
They went on the road to Baltimore, beat Baltimore. Went on the road to Minnesota, beat Minnesota. They've won 6 games in a row. What is it you don't like about
them? Yeah, they're hot.
I don't know. It's just something I don't like. I don't like how they experiment with their offense a little much with that Hill guy. Like they're trying a lot of new stuff this year that usually they fall a little short every year. Like, you know, the Saints are a pretty solid team every year, but they fall a little short when it comes to going to the Super Bowl or playoffs.
They haven't really been to a Super Bowl since we've been alive.
They won the Super Bowl a couple years ago with Drew Brees and Sean Payton.
I knew I was going to be wrong.
More than a couple years ago, but yeah.
Right, when Katrina hit, they won.
Yes.
They did, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I got to go watch a documentary on that.
Yeah, but since then, they've a solid team, but not Super Bowl level.
The other team, and the last team that can win the Super Bowl, the Carolina Panthers. If you're a Carolina Panthers fan, your team is trending up and can win the Super Bowl. I love what I've seen the last 2 weeks. They just pounded Baltimore at home.
Keep pounding is their slogan.
They crushed them.
Can I throw an alternate in there?
And they went to Philadelphia, and they beat the Eagles, and I like what North Turner's doing with Cam Newton. Those are the teams right now, halfway through the season, that can actually win the Super Bowl. Everybody else, You're playing second fiddle. You're just playing for scraps.
I think there's another There's another dark horse in there that people aren't seeing because it's stuck in the shadows.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's another Los Angeles team. I think the Chargers can win the Super Bowl. I think the Chargers have it this year to do some damage, go to the playoffs, somehow sneak through the playoffs, get to the Super Bowl, and win the damn thing.
You don't have to go all cussing on us. You were about to
say. I said the dang thing.
I know. You were about to say the other way.
Sometimes when I get emotional.
So you like the Chargers,
I do like
huh?
the Chargers.
Man, that's weird. Who picked the Chargers versus the Saints in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year?
Well, that's weird. Who picked Thielen and Cousins to be the connection of the year?
I'm just saying. Chargers.
But why aren't they in your list now?
Well.
Put them on your list.
They're not on my list right now.
Well, why not?
Because I said they're not. Those are the teams that can win the Super Bowl right now.
Watching football right now, at this point, I like the Chargers.
Okay.
What do you think, Ray?
I watched the Chargers against they played the Titans this year, and they didn't look that impressive.
Yeah, they were in London, though. They were in...
Right? Oh, that'll do some weird stuff to the game? Yeah. No, it's the same football game. It doesn't matter where you
jet
play.
Jet lag. Remember, they stayed in Cleveland the week before.
And they were missing their running back, Gordon, in that game, and their best defensive player. So.
I expected more from them, though. That's not a Super Bowl-type team. There's a lot more power in the NFL, and you're deciding to go with a team that impressive and make them your prediction as a Super Bowl
team. When they get to the playoffs, it doesn't matter like what streak they're, how hot they are, whatever. One game, they lose, they're done. Like, that's just how the playoffs work.
Is that how it does? One and done?
Yeah.
I would have never known that.
So saying like, oh, man, the Saints are hot right now. Okay. Well, we still have a few more weeks to go. Like, they may not be hot, and all they can do is have three players hurt and then lose a playoff game.
Well, obviously, if someone gets hurt, like I'm saying
right now,
they are the second best team in the NFC. That's it.
Yeah. And you don't even really want to be the regular season best team. That doesn't really equate to a lot. I mean, the one year the Patriots won every game.
And they lost in the Super Bowl.
Giants, like, what a if you're a fan, amazing team. This is the best team ever. One game.
Well, and it's all about matchups. Who you go if you can run the ball. In the playoffs, it depends on matchups. We'll see what happens. But right now, those are the five teams that I think can win the Super Bowl.
And if Todd Gurley gets hurt, the Rams are screwed.
Okay, if Brady gets hurt. If you use that caveat, then you could take any of those.
No, because you had the Eagles win a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback.
Because they had a crazy good backup quarterback.
And everybody was shocked by that. Because everybody said, when he got hurt, they said, season over. Everybody pronounced the season over. And they struggled. They got hot in the playoffs. Nick Foles he sucked. He absolutely sucked the last two or three games of the regular season last year. And then for some reason in the playoffs, he just caught fire, and they had a great defense, and that's what happened. They just got hot. So yes, if anybody gets hurt, it changes everything. That's the nature of sports. But when you can't
just
predict
when you have one guy get hurt, like and it changes your season.
If one quarterback gets hurt out of any of the NFL, that team cannot win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Again, it happened with the Eagles, so you can't make that statement. It can happen, and then the announcer would say, "Nobody saw that coming." Of course.
That's why it was such a big deal.
Right. I know. I get it.
Like, that's the thing. Injuries happen, and you can't predict them. And you never know who's going to get fired. Hugh Jackson, see ya. Todd Haley, gone. Just wasted. Absolutely wasted. The Browns are such a dumpster fire. They wasted Baker Mayfield's rookie year.
At least they got the one win. They opened the beer fridges so that everybody got their free beer. That was amazing. And they jumped in the lake. They did some cool things.
They cleansed themselves in the lake.
Okay, yeah, Cleveland called a good year, baby.
But it's
over.
What
do you mean they ruined Baker's rookie year?
Because now he has to get a new coach, a new offensive coordinator, a whole new system. So everything that he's been learning up until this point, this system, everything he's been listening to, time to flush it. Going to have a new regime, so it's going to be a whole new everything. What he did is he wasted this year. You're not going to have the head coach is not going to be named right now in the middle of the season. They're going to wait till the offseason to hire someone, go through the hiring process. So these next 8-9 games, I don't know how many games they have left. I don't know if they've played 6-7. I don't know if they've played 7 or because I don't know if they've had their bye. But what I'm saying is, so it's a waste. Like, he's just going to be playing football, and he's going to get experience in the game, but totally new system next year. So it's a waste. I feel bad for going to the Browns is like a death sentence. They are just such a dumpster fire. They can't keep head coaches. They get rid of GM.
They've never been good.
They have never been good.
They were good with Jim Brown.
Dude, I mean, in our life,
exactly.
Dude, I'm saying since we've been chilling, watching Sunday Ticket, they've never been good.
Never. Never
That's
been
crazy.
Good.
That's crazy.
They Every have all team these high draft picks.
Like, no.
Dude, I remember when me and my brother, we used to like watch the games. We'd always make fun of the Browns. We're like, Dad, change the channel. The Browns suck. We literally said that 20 years ago.
And now they're saying that the Browns may go and try to hire Lincoln Riley, the Oklahoma head coach, who was Baker
fired.
Mayfield's offensive coordinator and one-year head coach in college. And he said yesterday at a press conference, he goes, I'm just going to tell you right now, I am not interested in the NFL right now. I'm not going to say I won't ever be interested in the NFL because I don't want to sit here and say that because I may have that itch at some point. But right now, I'm not interested in the NFL. What
How
does that
weird.
Tell?
That'd be like, hey, lunch, we want to hire one of your teachers from high school. You said you were a great student. We want to bring him in as a producer with the show. That'd be so weird.
That's weird for Baker.
And, yeah, and lunch, like your freaking t-shirt. Like, what if Baker didn't love the guy that much? Or do you think Baker talked to people and was like, dude, get my old coach. I love that guy.
I think people think he is a coaching savant. He's sort of like McVay. They think he's an offensive genius. They really think he's a very smart football coach and think he's going to be a superstar in the coaching realm for years. And what they're saying is there's no bad that can come from this for Riley. He goes to the NFL, he fails. If he comes back to college, he's going to be a hot commodity. Anybody will hire him. He can pick whatever school he wants. And when he says, I'm not interested in the NFL right now, that tells me right now. But come January, when the football season's over, college football, you know what? Now I'm kind of interested in the NFL.
For sure.
If he would have said, I'm definitely not going to the NFL next year, then I would believe that he is not interested in taking the Browns' job. But when you say, not right now, 3 months, you know, I've been talking it over with my wife. I don't even know if he's married, but I'm talking it over with my parents, and they just think it's a good idea for me to make the jump to the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it means. Yeah. There's those little words, right? Two words there.
Little words,
those two
exactly.
little words. It's
all, he leaves a little bit out.
It opens up all sorts of opportunities as soon as the season's over.
So if you're the Browns, what just chaos? I mean, you fire the head coach and the offensive coordinator because obviously they didn't get along. You
right.
saw it on Hard Knocks.
It.
They just butted heads.
It reminds me of me and you. That offensive coordinator had your demeanor, your kind of demeanor of like, you know, I don't give a like, come on, you know that doesn't work. Like, I don't care if you're the head coach. I'm telling you right now, that still won't work. Shh. Whatever. That's kind of his demeanor, you know? And the head coach would be like, all right, that's great, but I'm in this seat right now, and you're not.
And so he even said that in Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
He was like, well, I'm the head coach, and what I say goes.
Yeah, and then the offense coordinator would be like, fine, no, I get that. Respect. I get that. That's yours, but you know what to do. I mean, you know that's not the right thing to do. Whatever.
Hey, you know how they say, like, reality shows broke up a couple? They do it all, especially with the Housewives. I don't know if you guys have ever watched it.
Yes,
a
they
lot
always,
of the Housewives
break up.
Got divorces, and they said, yeah, I mean, a little bit, the reality cameras broke us up. A lot of, they like to say that, even though maybe it's not the case, but they say the cameras broke them up. Did Hard Knocks break up the Browns?
No.
Oh, look at if you look at the history
dude, I would love
of
the head
reality
coach.
TV.
Dude, can the head coach please come out and be like, I mean, listen, I don't want to say it, but reality TV broke us up, man. Dude, that'd be amazing. It'd be like Hard Knocks, dude.
Look at the history of couples that go on these reality shows.
Not good.
They break up all the time.
All of them do.
Jessica Simpson
Jessica and Nick
Lachey.
That's the best example.
They were the first ones to do that.
Yes.
Boom, broken up.
Travis Barker and
Ashley
shit.
Parker Angel. Oh no, Travis Barker. That's Travis Barker. That's his name.
The Blink-182
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, and his girl. I don't know her name though.
Whatever she
they
was.
They had a show, Dunzo.
They ended up breaking up. And I don't know about Ashley Parker Angel, but I used to watch his show. I don't know if they broke up, but a lot of them, the Housewives, they break up, and it's so weird. Sammy and Ronnie from Jersey Shore, they broke up.
Damn.
They met on the show and then they broke up. You don't
Jersey
know who
Shore.
That is?
No, I never watched
Sammy
Jersey Shore.
Sweetheart, dude.
Guys, Sammy Sweetheart.
No, I get it. I've never seen it.
Oh my God! Do you watch the new stuff?
No.
Do you know who the situation is?
I've seen him on the news.
You don't know? You've never seen the situation
nope,
on TV?
No. Never.
Oh my gosh, dude! He is such a changed dude. Like I watch the new stuff, and he's sober now, like 3 or 4 years sober, and he's about to go to prison for tax fraud.
Yeah.
And he is just the nicest guy, and so
what
funny.
Was he like before?
Oh my
outrageous!
God.
His name was The Situation.
Yeah.
Okay. What was he like?
And he always talked in the third person, so he'd come into a thing. Well, maybe The Situation needs to check this out. He was Tim talking about himself.
Okay.
And the name, who gives themselves the name of The Situation? In its time, hilarious, because you're like, who does this? I thought you had to go by the name your parents gave you. And then this kid's just going by The Situation? That's amazing. I should have done that. Why, when I was in high school, did I not call myself The Situation?
Right. Genius.
Or anything.
Right. Or anything.
Yeah,
just have your own nickname and start marketing yourself as something.
Yeah.
And Now they joke about him. They call him the incarceration.
Oh,
but his friends do. They all think it's. He thinks it's funny.
That's
too.
Really funny.
Like they make jokes about it. Like that's what
the
so
incarceration.
Much, they've been having these little mini reunions where they go to Miami for a couple weeks and they've been filming. And they just make fun of each other. And I'm like, dang, dude, that is so hardcore.
That's
like,
funny.
And like Ronnie has a new girl, Jen, baby mama. She dragged him by the car. Like
yeah.
They got in a fight and she dragged him with a car. And then they go on a little mini vacation with everybody. And Jen comes. And Vinny goes, man, this is such a drag. Just like,
that's funny.
Like poking him. And then Jay Wild turns around and goes, just so you know, your mugshot was hot. And it's like so awkward. Like, why would you?
These people are just trashy, outrageous.
Dude, but of
out
all of
loud,
them, all, like, all of them, the five or six Jersey Shore people, they're all made good money. They still have
millionaires.
Good money, except for the situation.
Yeah,
so
he lost all his
all
money.
All of them screwed it up, except for one. I got, in a weird way, I got to give them props, man. They held it together. They're still on TV and they're still making
crazy
money.
All of them
money.
Screwed it up, except
no, no,
one?
No. All of them did good,
oh,
except
for
one.
I mean, okay. Situation.
I mean, DJ Pauly D in Vegas making millions, DJing crazy
yes.
cars, crazy mansion. Everybody's kept on to their money, invested it well, and is still has a TV career, except for the situation.
And just because the situation didn't handle the taxes right.
He tried to hide some earnings because he bought like businesses. He bought like a couple tanning salons. And so he was hiding some of the money because he didn't want to pay the taxes.
And he was trying to hide it in increments of under $10,000 so the government wouldn't be alerted. Because when you do an investment of $10,000 in your account, that's when the government gets tipped off and they start looking into some things.
So he got busted. Now he's going to prison. And it's just, it's so crazy to me that they have been able to manage their life and keep making money. And they saved most. I mean, Snooki's now hosting a new TV show.
Snooki, I've heard of her.
And JWoww and Snooki had a TV show together and... It's really kind of cool to see that they're still making it.
Yeah.
And when they go to the club on these shows, DJ Pauly D's up there DJing, and the crowd, when they're walking through the casinos, the crowd, everybody's taking their phones out. Like, they are so still famous, and I love it.
DJ Pauly D did the best, money-wise, out of the entire show.
Oh, yeah.
He's front runner, and then I would say Snooki, JWoww, Ronnie, Vinny situation.
And Sammy. Well,
and
situation
Sammy.
In
well,
the
situation
beginning
still,
made the
though,
most.
Has that name.
The funniest thing about Sammy Sweetheart, you don't see her on TV anymore.
Because
you don't see anything about her. You go on Instagram, got a million followers. I mean, dude, this world we live in is crazy. You don't even hear about the chick. She's got a million followers. She's probably making amazing money just to endorse stuff on her Instagram.
And Paul, Angelina, she left after like two episodes, maybe a couple days in the house because they were making fun of her and she was just overwhelmed and she left. She missed out on millions of dollars. And now she's kind of been back in the fold because Sammy's out. So they kind of needed to bring some drama back in. So they bring Angelina. So she's finally capitalizing on this money.
This is the most excited I've ever seen you guys talk about anything.
Dude, that show was amazing.
Your eyes are all lit up about this crap.
It was the greatest thing. The first time I turned on the TV and saw Jersey Shore, I was like, I had no idea people
behaved. It changed the world.
Dude, I was like, I never knew at the club you could just go stand on furniture. I never knew at the club you could just throw shots on people. They showed you can do whatever you want in the world. Like, I thought there were all these rules.
But that wasn't real, right?
Oh, no,
it was all real.
It was all real, dude. Like, this, I didn't know you could talk about yourself in third person and people think it's funny. Like, situations like, well, let me think about it. The situation's going to go Jim Tan Laundry. Like, he created catchphrases that were like on t-shirt and clothing and made millions. But what I'm saying is, I didn't know you could just do that. You could make a monkey of yourself and people would love it. I thought you kind of had to be orderly and buttoned up. Dude, this Jersey Shore showed the world that you can do whatever you want, be crazy and outrageous, and... For the most part, people are going to love you and embrace it.
Real World kind of started that. Real World started that.
But they were a lot tamer.
Then you go to the Guido version, which was Jersey Shore.
Sure, Guido.
And oh my gosh, it was just nuts how crazy they were. And I love it because I think Ronnie's number one rule, don't ever fall in love at the shore. He fell in love at the Jersey Shore with
Sammy Sweetheart.
Wow.
Right away. Boom. And then they fought and make up the whole 8 years they were on TV or whatever. Awesome.
Wasn't our buddy Carlos in one of those episodes?
No, he was in...
It was a bar scene, I remember.
But that was Teen Mom.
Oh, it was Teen Mom. Okay.
Yeah, Farrah was at the bar and he went up and gave her a drink.
In Austin, right?
Yes.
I thought it was Jersey Shore. My bad.
Awesome. Jersey Shore. Beat that beat. Beat that beat.
But guys, like, it's not, you can't act like that. Like, it's entertaining to act like because it's not you. Like,
right.
I don't think us three can go into a bar and jump on the furniture and throw shots everywhere.
But I'm just saying, the East Coast, I've really only went out there once. I've never really experienced the East Coast. They're crazy out there. what we've seen from the Bills Mafia, East Coast and up there a little bit more.
The what Mafia?
Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
They jump on tables, like, for pregame tailgate. You know how you drink one beer with your family? Dude, those people get drunk and go jump on tables.
Oh, the Bills Mafia. That's the fan. That's the Bills
Dude, we're
club.
Learning the people on the East Coast, like, they're wacky, and I love it. Like, they're extreme. They're extreme versions of normal personalities. Like, they're way more extreme than I've ever experienced in my life. And, dude, I love it. I think the East Coast is awesome, dude. And Jersey Shore showed us this.
Showed us that. All right, absolutely. All right. Yeah. Huh. Now Hugh Jackson can go party with them. He's got nothing to do.
What's he going
to
do now?
He'll become an offensive coordinator. Right? Someone will hire him next year. He'll be back in the game.
You think he'll be back in the NFL?
Absolutely.
I always think like you're then the black sheep, or you know, you're kind of outcasted a little bit when you get out of the league. It's kind of like the boys club. So like one of the coaches gets out and then you're just viewed as not good anymore. As long as you can stay in that club, you're good.
If you look at the NFL, just look around. Everyone's
been a head coach. And fired. Everyone's been a coordinator.
And they just, oh, you know, you're friends with my dad. Come work for me. Or, yeah. Oh, we worked together when we were in Green Bay. Come work with me in Seattle.
Oh, your last name's Lombardi. Oh, you're cool. Like, you can
work
with
us. Yeah, you can come work with me. If you look around, all the coaches have been fired. They just go jump on with another team.
I think you really just have to have, like, just a hard skin, you know? Just be like,
thick
whatever. Thick skin.
Every coach is hired to be fired.
Except for Belichick.
Right. There's rare occasions where they're not. But if you in real life, if you're a coach, you think I'm being hired and eventually I will be fired.
Why is it not like that in normal jobs, though? I don't want it to be.
But it can be.
Dude, the NFL is cutthroat and crazy.
Because there's only 32 spots.
All right.
That it's such a limited profession. There's 32 head coaching jobs in the NFL. Or, you know, in the NBA, there's such a limited. That's why the spotlight is so much. Like, and the pressure, because there's millions of dollars at stake and everybody's eyes on you and you have a fan base and owners feel the pressure from fans, so got to get rid of them.
Can you imagine our sales force upstairs if they had, like, worst salesperson gets fired this week? Like, that kind of in the NFL. Like, if you have four bad weeks, you know, in the NFL you have four bad weeks, you're fired. Up in sales, if you don't make good sales for 4 weeks, they fire somebody after a month.
Tyronn Lue starts 0-6, he's fired.
Dude, if they did that to sales, those people up there would be going crazy for us. They'd be hitting the streets.
Oh, they'd be hitting the streets. There would be no more of these coffee meetings with their friends. They would be just actually doing some work. Not that they don't.
Coach, they work.
No, they do
That's
work.
That's part of their work, going to have coffee with clients.
Yeah.
I was just using them as an example of in normal world.
Like they would be fighting each other.
If John doesn't sell a car this week, he's going to be fired. Everybody else has sold a car except for him. Dude, can you imagine John at the car dealership?
John would be pulling his hair out. Every customer that comes on that lot.
Somebody comes in, John. He'd be, how's it going?
Did you just buy this? Did you just buy it? He's like, look. When you leave here, if you buy this car, I'll give you $5,000 for my next paycheck. I don't care.
Man,
like,
my job depends on it, man.
You got to buy this car. I don't care if you turn it in a week. Just please buy the car. I mean, they would be going nuts.
Dude. But they also got to know that there's a position right underneath that they could have if they get fired. That doesn't exist in real life.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like you get fired, like, good luck. You're not working here anymore. Go somewhere else.
Right. And because you have to write on your resume, I got fired from my last job. Yeah. And so in the NFL, it's okay because everybody knows you got fired because you see it. Like the Cowboys fired their offensive line coach.
Right.
Like,
smart.
Okay, great. Like, no one knows who that guy is, so he's going to be able to get a job next week. Because he was with
the
Bengals.
He's probably already got a job now.
Right. Someone's already called him and, hey, dude, come work for us. Okay, great. And people are calling for Dave Roberts to be fired. Dodgers manager. Loses 2 World Series in a row. Listen, I didn't know this.
You said he sucks, though.
I feel like he's terrible. I do feel like he's terrible. But what was he supposed to do? They lost to the better team. Going into the World Series, everybody thought the Red Sox would win the World Series. So he lived up to expectations. They lost exactly what people thought they were going to do. And the Dodgers run everything on mathematics and the numbers guy and all that. And so he really is just a guy that manages the clubhouse. He's not really, like, all the moves are predetermined because of the statistical matchups. And so firing him, I was all on board for firing him. I was on board for it because I think he's terrible. But then I think about it, I'm like, he's the lowest paid manager in Major League Baseball. He makes $800,000 a year. And he doesn't really control anything. The problem with the Dodgers is they strike out too much. It's either home run or nothing. They have all their guys are just, it's that new baseball. Swing and miss or home run. The Red Sox, they hit home runs, but they're getting singles. They're getting doubles. They're making contact. They're putting the ball in play. That's why they were the better team.
And I think the bunt is going to be out of the game in 10 years.
It's going to be out of the game. It's going to be out of the game.
They've lost it. The bunt used to be one of the biggest parts of the game because that's how you play situational baseball. You get a guy over one base that increases your percentages of him getting home. Dude, nowadays, swing for the fences or strike out.
Right. According to the math, it's not good to give up the out for the bunt. My problem is it puts someone in scoring position. And it adds pressure to the pitcher. He has to make a perfect pitch because there's someone in scoring position. The mathematics can't make up for that. You cannot calculate the stress the pitcher feels with a guy on second base or a guy on third base. That is not involved in the numbers. When you get someone in scoring position, it's harder to execute. The infielders, the outfielders, they have to think more like, okay, where do I throw the ball if I get it? How many outs are there? It puts pressure on them. So to say that it's not worth the out, I think it's just... it's wrong.
Did you see some bunting in the World Series? I didn't watch a lot of the
game. I saw maybe two bunts.
Okay.
Two, that's it.
But I mean, there should be a lot more than that.
There should be a lot more than that. It's just crazy to me. It's so frustrating to watch when you're down a run and you're in the seventh inning, you get the leadoff runner on, and you don't bunt him over. It makes no sense.
It's so weird. But to non-baseball fans, you're not really going to understand that. But if you really play the game, it's so much better to have a guy on second base with one out
because
than
have a guy
score on a single.
Than have a guy on first with zero outs.
Sure.
It's so much better.
But it's okay to pop up, like...
yeah, pop up, get him on third. Then you have two outs, and there's even a better chance of him scoring on third because there could be a pass ball or something like that. So it's the weirdest thing, but you think about it. I mean, these guys in L.A., dude. L.A. culture, man. Palm trees, a bunch of L.A. fans. It's not cool to bunt. Dude, bunting's not cool. But you ever see a bunt on SportsCenter?
Is it hard to bunt a 100-mile-per-hour fastball?
Yep. It's hard to bunt.
Hard to bunt a curve.
I would say that's maybe part of the reason why they don't bunt.
The pitchers are really the only ones that bunt. They give up their at-bat. But when they usually bunt, it's not even – it doesn't even – what I'm saying, if they come up and – with a runner in scoring position, the pitcher should be able, that's their job, to move the runner over. Do you see pitchers successfully doing that?
Yes.
I guess if a guy's going to bunt on the team, it's usually the pitcher.
Right. But I don't expect my pitcher to be great at it because I'm worried about my pitcher pitching, and I don't want him, concentrating. I mean, it's important, yes, but if he can't handle the bat, oh, well, that's not a big deal. But
usually the pitcher's not trying to throw curveballs and stuff to a pitcher. If you're a pitcher and you need to be able to bunt because you're going to have some easy pitches to bunt and you can move the runner over if there is a runner in scoring position.
I just think bunting needs to be more of the game.
I bet kids don't even bunt. I bet they're not even taught anymore nowadays to bunt. I bet if you go look around, I bet they're not even teaching them that. The only reason my dad was old school and he always was like, you got to learn how to bunt.
You got to learn how to bunt.
I bet
my 10-year-old in his league, they were bunting.
They were?
Yep.
That's good. That's a good sign for the future.
Yeah, the drag bunt. The drag bunt's maybe the best thing.
Lefty.
Oh, my gosh. And it's not there anymore. Like, and people get mad at me, but I'm a Cubs fan. Anthony Rizzo, when they're in the shift where they pull the third baseman or shortstop on the other side of second base.
You have to bunt to third.
Just bunt it. If you would just bunt any of these players that have the shift against them, bunt to third base four times in a row, and you get on every single time, they're eventually going to come out of the shift. They have to. Because you get on base, you give the person behind you a chance to drive in more runs. Everybody says, oh, you can't do that because they're a home run hitter. Okay, they hit 35 home runs a year. 35. So you'd rather pop out the other 40 times instead of bunting and getting a base hit. I would rather have you on base every single time than those 35 home runs. Mm-hmm. When there's no one on base or when there's someone on base, I get not bunting. But if they're in the shift, you bunt. It makes so much sense to bunt. And that's how the Dodgers play, is they play the mathematics. And so don't fire Dave Roberts. Even though he's terrible, because the decisions really aren't up to him. But sometimes he does screw up when you have two left-handed hitters coming up and you don't have a lefty warming up in the bullpen in game four. You blew it. Okay, whatever. Red Sox were a better team.
Dude,
harsh.
Us talking about baseball days after the World Series reminds me of the bar I was at the other night. They were playing the World Series after it was already over. They're replaying the World Series.
Really?
Like, there's not better TV on a Monday night than a replay of the World Series. They were replaying game five or whatever. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know the score. Anybody want to bet on this?
Oh, you should have bet on somebody. You should have got some drunk sucker.
Oh,
hey,
dude.
I'll bet you.
There's for sure some dude idiots at the bar that have no idea that the final game of the World Series already happened.
I'll bet you Pierce hits a home run right here.
That Pierce guy's good. He's going to be the MVP. No, he's not. I'll bet you.
Sometimes when we're when we're all at lunch at one of the places around here, Whiskey Kitchen, they'll replay the hockey games from the night before. And up in the right-hand corner, it says replay, but it's really small. So a lot of the people in the restaurant don't know it's a replay. and we'll usually know when the goals are going to be scored. And so we're all like predicting it. And
let's
talking.
Go Predators! Or we'll
let's go Predators!
Or we cheer.
Let's go Predators!
All right, stop.
I mean, it's 11 a.m.
But we also cheer, though, at the replay. So if anybody knows that the game already happened, they're going to be like, these guys are the dumbest
guys. You know,
there's
ever. A table of dudes over in the corner being like, look at those idiots. They think this game's alive.
Yeah, like, how stupid are they? You are such morons.
Let's
I love it.
Go Predators!
Let's go. Oh, you were stopping
that's
right there.
That's great. I love it.
Dude, if I ever own a bar, there will never be a little replay sign on the upper right-hand corner of any of my TVs.
So what are you playing at lunchtime?
I mean, I'll find something. I'm never going to play on a Monday night.
He plays rugby?
Dude,
hey, that's fine. Anything.
On
cricket?
A Monday night, dude, whatever. Monday night, I got to find other TV to show these people than a replay of the World Series.
You're like, playing Japanese Baseball League?
Dude, I'm telling you, man, if you're a bar owner
live.
And
you got to have something
if you let
live.
One of your TVs go to a TV show, never a TV show at a bar, but if you let one of your TVs get out of control onto a replay game or something, that's when you've lost control of your bar. The TVs are the priority. You need to have the best games on and the most marquee prime games on. And there's enough. On a every night of the week, there's games. NBA starts at 6.
Exactly. And
Ray's going to have Greyhound races going on at lunch.
That's a good one.
Oh, hey, dude, we got a bar right around the corner. They had the horse races on the horse channel. I was like, you know what? Props. I don't know who the owner is here. Props to him.
Hey, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing.
I took a picture of it and sent
did
it to
South
Beach.
Did you gamble?
No, I don't. It happened so fast. You only have like 7 minutes to do one of the
minutes
horse
to post.
Races.
Yeah, it says MTP.
7 minutes to post time.
I told
seven
my buddy, I was like, this bar literally has horse racing, and it's not the Kentucky Derby. It's just a normal Tuesday horse race.
Horse tracks all
over
the place.
You know what's coming up? The most expensive horse race in America.
Belmont Stakes.
Belmont Stakes.
Really? Is that the first? That's the first of the crown.
I have no idea.
Oh.
I don't watch horse racing unless...
You watch the Kentucky Derby.
Nah, not really.
Never really watched that one.
No, you gotta watch the Triple Crown.
The only time I watch the horse racing is if I'm in Vegas and I'm sitting in the sports book and I want to bet on
them. You'll do a horse race?
Absolutely.
See, I don't know how to do that. My buddy South Beach is amazing with that, so he's able to do it quick. Boom, do this, place this on this horse. And he knows the book, and he knows how to read it. Dude, all that's too much. It's almost a different language.
Or just go up here to Kentucky Downs, dude. They got live racing like 6 times a year or 8 times a year. We go up there and do some little horse racing.
But you still only have like 7 minutes, though, right?
I got like 15 minutes.
All right. It starts.
And,
like, you have a lot
you have
of time.
A horse race?
And
yes. You have a book. They have give you a book when you walk in and it tells you every race.
Dude, when they hand me that book, the times I've been, it looks like a dictionary to me. I have no idea what the
there
hell
are
I'm
a lot
at.
Of numbers.
There's
in
a
that
lot
book.
Of numbers. And so you just got to know what to look for. You just look for the horse with the cool name. That's all you do.
No. There's only one thing you really look for. Look for the best odds ever. Like, if you look, because all these odds come in really weird. Like the higher the number, higher the first number is the horse that's not going to win. Like no win.
Right. It's just
it's
like
betting. I get that.
Yeah. So bet on that horse. So in case they all fall and that one dude, like in the last place, comes in, you win $1 million.
What I'm saying
is that's not how you bet. But
dude, when I bet sports, I know something about it. When I bet horses, it that tells me this is luck. Sports, I like to think it's a little bit predictable. The horse racing to me is just complete luck.
No,
unless you know something about it. Unless I go out in the prairie and watch the horse run, I have no idea.
But they'll tell you which one the favorite is.
I know.
That's what that book
tells
you.
And I realize the book will show you which is the fastest, and that is a very good thing to
look
at. I
mean, sometimes there'll be a race where the horse that's favorite has won like the last 200 races. You're like, well, duh.
Okay, well, then when I open that book, I want that part to be highlighted. That stat. This horse has won 200 races in a row. I want that highlighted so that I can be like, okay. I'd like to place this bet.
It's hard.
It's freaking hard,
it
dude.
Is. Unless you're someone that sits there and studies at the track. You got those old men that have their little sheets there.
Pen and paper.
Yes. I usually just go, I try to go a middle-of-the-road horse that's not the huge favorite because you're not going to win any money. And if I like their name, that's it.
Okay.
That's the fun way to do. I mean, I'm not putting a lot of money. And you bet for a win, place, or show.
Yeah, I get all that.
First, second, or third. And then if they win first, you win all three of those bets. That's when that's a payday. That's a payday.
The trifecta?
No, well, it's not even called a trifecta. Oh. You just say, I want, like I was at
horse
Kentucky
number
Downs.
Two.
Horse number two, second guessing.
His name is second guessing?
Yeah. and I picked him because I'd been second guessing all my picks. Okay, so I was like, oh, let me.
Naturally.
This is how he bets. Yeah,
so I went up there.
So I walked in and saw a Coca-Cola bottle. I would like the Coke-colored horse. I'm like, what?
No, the horse's name is Coca-Cola.
Because I drank one this morning.
That's how I do it. And so he was like the fourth odds, like the fourth best horse in the race. And I said, I want him to win, play, show. He won the race. $20 bet, paid $7.60.
Wow.
Boom!
$20 bet, though, you say, like, not a lot of money. $20
well, that's
bucks to me
I
on
was,
race is a lot
I,
of money.
It was my last race. I'd been betting 5-5-5. It was time to go home.
But why do you say win, play, show? Why wouldn't you just say win?
Because If he gets third place, yeah. That show, win. You still win.
Okay. All right.
And you win more than the money you put down, even on a show.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that. That's actually a really cool thing to do.
Yes.
Okay.
There you go. And speaking of gambling, Eddie hit his 7-game parlay last weekend. First weekend of doing the parlays.
I won $200.
Yeah, a little less than 200. Like one, it was 180.
And so this weekend, where are you at with your gambling?
All right. So I cashed out $100. That check is in the mail. And so I had about $85, $90 to play with for the rest of the week.
That's house money, baby.
Yeah. I am now down to $5.
You had how much?
90.
And you have?
5.
And you were doing $1 parlays?
Sometimes 2, and then the ones that got me, I would live bet certain games. College night, I got a little carried away on Saturday, and I would do live bets, and I would lose those. I went live bet on the Boston Dodgers game 5, game 4.
Game 3.
Was it 3? Game 3. Went a little carried away.
This is when he...
Well, I know it wasn't game 6 or 7, because it only was 5.
Hey, this is the gambler, and Eddie doesn't even know what games he's betting on.
Guys, when you're not able to recollect the games that you bet on, you're betting too much.
That's right.
I bet a lot. If I have $90 and I'm doing dollar bets and I'm down to my last $5, guys, do the math. I bet a lot in the last 2 weeks.
And so are you realizing it's a lot harder than you thought and you just had a little beginner's luck?
No. It's not any harder than I thought it was. My problem is I felt like I needed to make up the money that I lost quickly by doing live bets. That was stupid. Live bets, you look at a game and you think it's a no-brainer. Like, it's no-brainer. This team's going to win. Like, they've been leading the whole game. And then you live bet it and all of a sudden they lose it. And that's just dumb.
The best way right now to spend your $5 is you need to pick 3 teams and do a parlay, and you can win $30.
That's better.
You need to put $5 on 3 teams.
No, that's not my plan.
But you realize you lose that 5, you're going to have to deposit, and that's a scary thing.
I'm not depositing.
Then there you go. You only have 5 left then.
I have $5 left in my
gambling
career.
You can still cancel that withdrawal.
The 100?
Yeah.
No, it's already in the mail. I don't care.
No.
That money's coming back.
So you're done. You're not going
to
win. You're done.
So $5.
You can cancel the withdrawal, and then you'll have more of a base to work with, and then re-withdraw.
Stop it, Ray. I'm not doing that. What I'm doing here, I'm going to make this $5 last the next 5 weeks of NFL. I'm going to do $1 parlay, 12-game parlay every week, and that's it. That's
it. So you're not going to win anything.
So I may not win, but if I do, boys, I'm back in business.
The option
with $3,000.
I would choose as your advisor, I would
a 3-game parlay.
I would unwithdraw the withdrawal, put that back in the account. You're going to have $105 now, and you're going to start to do some betting.
I am not bringing that $100 back.
Bring it back.
No, that's coming back to my bank account.
You saying $5 here?
Listen, he wants to cash out up $50. He made $50. That's correct. That's okay. Good for him.
$100 isn't going to make you happy. You know what it is? We unwithdrawing, having a $100 base, building that to $1,000. Having 1G is going to make you happy.
He's not going to get to 1G.
He can get to 1G.
No, he can't.
He can
right. Betting 7-game parlays, he's not going to get to 1G.
Probably not that route.
Exactly. If you want to win, you're going to have to bet the $5 on a 3-game parlay. It's more realistic that you're going
to
win.
You need to listen to my lock that I'm going to give here in about 5 minutes. I want you to put $100 on.
The whole reason
you'll
I
have
got
$200.
Into this gambling thing was to hit a 12-game parlay. That's the only reason I started this thing, and I came out winning $200. I cashed out $100. I had another 100 left. I've lost it. I'm down to my last $5. Guys, I can't give up on the original reason why I did this, to win a 12-game parlay with a $1 risk. So I'm going to take the next 5 weeks, bet $1 on 12-game parlays, and if I hit it, I win. If I don't, my career is done.
And guys, what you're hearing, you think, Vegas, that's the only place sports betting happens. No. It's all over the country. In this studio right now, there's a guy that's facing the effects of gambling.
I read an article that the New York judge is wanting to ban fantasy betting in New York because it is unconstitutional.
So that would take out DraftKings and FanDuel. You would still be able to do the sports betting, which is what I predicted. I said when it became legal in all of America, I said watch out for the casinos. They're going to start to have sports betting. I just saw a sign. Tunica has sports betting now. So all these places that had the horse tracks and had the blackjack and stuff, now they're starting to open their sports book. You're not going to see, if you live in Nashville, where we do, you're not going to see a building come up and say sports betting. That's not going to happen. There needs to be a casino there already.
But what do you guys think?
So if you are in a city with a casino, literally, in the next couple months, you're going to have a sports book there.
Well, what do you guys think about this? Because his reasoning behind this is that DraftKings, FanDuel, all these websites cannot control someone who has a gambling problem. Like, it's like if Lunchbox has a gambling problem, they can't decide whether to cut him off or not. They just have to let him go. So there's no way of them regulating someone with a problem. Is that the website's problem?
No, because
if someone has a gambling,
a casino can't stop me.
But they could tell, like, okay, Lunchbox, you come in a lot more. It's almost like a bartender and a drinks. Like, all right, dude.
Well,
like,
and that's another thing. I don't think the bartender should be responsible for how much you drink. You are an adult. You decide how much you can drink. And that is not the bartender's job to babysit you. They're not getting paid enough to observe exactly how much you drink. If you drank, what if you drank somewhere before you came there? They can't know that.
Correct.
So it's not their responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the casino. It's your responsibility as a human
to cut yourself off.
To cut yourself off. If you want to gamble, you gamble. If you have a gambling problem, that's your problem to decide. I can't force you to stop. That's you.
Because the lottery won't let you buy tickets with a credit card. It has to be cash only.
Well, obviously.
Right. But with these things, it's all credit card. So, I mean, you can have someone with a gambling problem with a credit card that has a $100,000 limit and just let her rip.
Okay.
So they can't. That's what this judge is saying. It's like, you can't regulate. Maybe do it, you know, Bitcoin direct deposit or, you know, debit card only. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with. I just don't think it's their responsibility. I have no problem with the daily fantasy leagues. If people want to have fun and do it, that's their thing, whatever. And where Eddie got in trouble with betting, live betting, he was making dumb. He would put no thought into the bet.
Exactly.
Like the Chiefs were up by 10 with 6 minutes to go, and he was in the line was 7.5 for the final score, and he was like, "That's a no brainer. The Chiefs, dude."
Boom, so all bet. That had to happen was Denver had to kick a field goal and he loses the
right,
bet.
But what he didn't realize is that Kansas City's not trying to score anymore because they're up 10. They're just going to try to bleed the clock. And so Denver just goes down and kicks a field goal and the Chiefs get the ball back. Do they try to score? No, because they don't need to.
Yeah, but I just thought that Denver never had a chance to score. That was really my thinking. I mean, not that the Chiefs were going to score
more. I mean, but
more.
They had scored 20 points already in the game.
That's what I thought at the time.
All right, guys, do we have our locks? I got mine. I'll start it out. Tonight, you're going to go to the NBA. There's no NFL. College football, not great on a Tuesday night. I hate that. You never really know what the over-under. It's a little wacky. So I stick with the NBA. I absolutely love. This is my lock of the night, okay? The Orlando Magic. Sacramento Kings over 220.5. Magic. Kings over 220.5. That's my lock. I guarantee my picks. Put $100 on this. Tomorrow morning, you're going to wake up. You're taking the kids to school. Man, this sucks. But then you're going to remember, I won $100 last night.
What's that over under?
20.5. I love my life. I'm better than my coworkers because I won money last
20
night.
20.5?
Yes. 220.5.
Thank you.
I have a side gig.
It's definitely over 20.5.
Everybody at your job right now has a side gig except for you. What is your side gig now? Gambling. You're going to find $100, ask your wife for it, tell her you're getting groceries, don't get the groceries. Okay? You're going to take that $100, bet it. Magic Kings over 220.5. I helped my bettors out last night. I'll do it again tonight. Yes, Jesus. Pray with me.
What?
I was just kidding. I was acting like they're my congregation.
Okay, now go ahead.
Lock it up!
And I just want to say congrats to the Nevada Sportsbooks. For the month of September, there was more money bet and lost in Nevada Sportsbook since 1984 when they started tracking it. So it was the most lucrative month for them in the history of sports books.
Good job, Vegas.
Good job, Vegas.
Good job, Vegas.
Hey, way to take advantage of all those gamblers.
That means you guys aren't winning your bets. Listen to us.
All those people out there lying to their wives, telling them they're buying groceries, and they're like, you got screwed this month.
Nevada
books. Congrats, Vegas.
Hey.
Congrats, Vegas.
There's also Reno there. Guys, don't leave that amount. Carson City. They got
smallest little city ever. What's it called?
I don't know. But they won $56.3 million.
Yeah.
On a total of $571 million bet in September in the sports books.
Congratulations,
Nevada. Sports books. Keep building those buildings. We'll come and visit them and we'll throw you our money.
Yeah.
And starting tonight with that lock of Magic Kings over 220.5.
Eddie, are you going to slam the door on anything tonight? You don't need to because you were wrong last night. So
I
right
need a
now,
week off, boys.
In the betting world, you are considered ice. Cold. This is one of those things when you're in the sports book with your buddy, you get away with it. Me and my friends do the same thing. When our one buddy's cold, we get away from him.
Isn't that crazy? 5 days ago, I was smoldering hot.
Stand back. Get back from me, dude. I'm hot.
Smoldering hot or smoking hot?
Smoldering.
Because you're smoldering now.
Yeah, yeah.
Smoldering means the fire's going out.
Oh.
But you passed smoldering. You're ice now. You dumped ice on the fire.
I mean, really, like last week I was on fire and now I'm ice cold. Guys, that's gambling.
That's why you look around the room. Who's hot? I'm hot. Eddie's ice cold. Lunchbox, he's hot. After your lock, you haven't made another pick, though.
Yeah, well, no. I picked the World Series.
He's cold.
And so I said if you were going to bet on the Patriots last night. I didn't lock it up because I was like, I wouldn't bet on it.
And so I would say Lunchbox right now is hot. I'm smoking hot. Eddie, ice, cold. Right now.
Brent gets one right and he's smoking hot.
Coach, so ridiculous. I'm hot. I've been hot.
I missed
one by 3 points because Hornibrook wasn't playing. I'm sorry I didn't see the depth chart 5 minutes before the game.
Hey, well, you missed it. It doesn't matter if you missed it by half a point.
And I'm going to email Wisconsin. I want to know why that depth chart was not released 3 days beforehand. I didn't get it until 10 minutes before the game. That's crap, and that hurt the bettors.
Yep, and the Lakers lost again last night.
Aww.
Dropped to 2-5.
And for some weird reason, the Cavs are the favorite tonight.
Over who?
I don't know, but they haven't won a game, right?
Oh, they're playing Atlanta.
Is Atlanta not good?
They're 2-4.
Well, Atlanta gets 4.5. That is a weird line. Not adding it to the lock list. Just telling you it's a little weird. Look into it.
All right, let's go home.
All right, Lunch does not have a lock. He is not taking anything to the bank. Eddie is not slamming the door.
The door's wide open.
It was open last night, too.
Not closing it.
Dude, you thought you closed it last night, but it was still swinging open this morning.
The fact that you put money on the Bills is just a terrible decision.
And he put money on a quarterback that wasn't in the league 2 weeks ago. I mean, good God.
I was trying to make a point, and I was wrong. I'm sorry.
You try to go bold and be like, and you know what? I'm going to call a Bills-Vikings situation. The Bills will beat the Patriots. Like, get out of town.
It's the opposite effect. I love the opposite effect where you go the opposite of the rest of the world, but you have to be careful when you use it.
Yeah.
It's just like a trump card. You got to be, boom, here's my ace in the hole, man. You got to be careful when you use it.
I haven't used it.
You can't just use it every night of the week. Oh, I'm going opposite effect. I bet the Cavs win tonight. Like, you can't just opposite effect it. You got to choose wisely when you opposite.
I feel like it's the craps table. Like when you do don't pass, like that's what that is. Like you bet against the table.
Yeah.
I think this is betting against the whole world is better percentages. I mean, I think it is.
So you're the type of guy when you're the stock market, you're betting against the stocks. That's called short selling.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
So it's a way to bet. You can, if you guys want to invest, most people choose for the stocks to go up. If you want to bet against the stocks, it's called short selling.
Bet with a house, dude.
So. Dude, the ways to win in this world is short selling, betting against NFL teams, betting against the stock market.
So you agree with me?
It's a lovely approach. It wasn't good for Monday Night Football because I don't love the Bills.
Yeah.
But most of the times, I like betting against things instead of betting for things.
Well, betting's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Like tonight, I'm betting for something. I'm betting for the teams to go over 220. But typically, I'll like to bet against some teams. So if you bet the under, you're betting against them. You bet over, you're betting with them. It's a positive flow.
No, that's
the way I look at it.
Guys, just because you bet an over-under doesn't mean you're betting with or against the team. You're just betting for them to score more baskets. Right. You're hoping they're going to have...
But you realize if you choose an under, you're rooting for a miss every time. If you choose an over, you're rooting for a make every time. So it's like a negative,
positive
type thing.
So you're cheering for offense and no defense.
Exactly.
That's
tonight,
what you want.
Tonight I am.
Okay.
So as a bettor, you got to realize those things. Do you like the offense? Do you like the defense? What do you want to root for tonight? If you're choosing an over-under, if you choose the over, you're going to be nervous the entire game until the very end.
I'm confused.
This is betting talk. My bettors are loving this right now. If you choose this 220, I'm telling you with my bet right now, at 220, you are going to be nervous the entire game. Okay, but then in those final minutes, when it goes over, you're going to win. If you would have bet the under, you'd feel great the entire game until the very end, until it goes over. Okay?
Oh, my God.
It's all this type of betting.
Whatever.
We're done.
You ready to go home?
Yeah, because everybody is tuned out.
I'm lost.
We talk too much gambling.
I'm sorry, you guys.
I have no idea what you're saying.
No, he's just making stuff up as he goes.
That's what he does.
But I love it.
All right.
We're out.
We done?
Yeah. Hey, Hugh Jackson, if you listen to this, man.
Come join us. Hey, come be in the podcast.
Yeah, we got a spot for you. It's an unpaid internship, Hugh Jackson. If you want to come and... You know, we can teach you a little bit about football. And,
he comes and brings us his first lock. It's to bet against the Browns. We're like, oh,
is he bitter?
He's like, listen, guys, I got sources inside that locker room. It's total dysfunction.
He's like bet against them.
No,
well,
like, who?
Hey, well, no.
Would you be the one that, I'm the one that would tell you that it's just total dysfunction over there. It's a chaos. They're not going to win another game the rest of the year. Taking that to the bank, Hugh? Yeah.
Hey, is he on Twitter?
Hugh, over to you, man. What's your lock? Whoever's playing. I wish I knew who the Browns.
Whoever's playing the Browns.
They're playing
tonight.
The Chiefs.
Chiefs, lock it up.
Chiefs -10, but they're playing your old Browns.
Well, lock
I don't
it
care.
Up.
Lock it up. -10.
Have you seen who we got back there at quarterback?
You checking to see if he has a Twitter?
Let's see if.
Because should we start just hitting up all these people on Twitter and see if they want to be guests?
Dude, guests to me equals snooze fest.
I think
rarely
you're going to get
you wouldn't want to talk to Tom Brady.
Oh, I'm sure we'll land
okay,
him.
Okay, well then, a guest is not a snooze fest.
Do you really think Hugh would be an interesting guest?
Yeah.
All right, bring him on.
Hey, book him.
Book him. Bless him.
No. If you can book someone, book him.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, should we just hit them all on Twitter and be like, hey, yo, Hugh, you want to be a guest? Send.
Just walk across the hallway and book brother. And he can talk Chiefs football.
Who's the baseball player who lives here in Franklin?
We got Jay
Mookie Betts?
No.
We got Jay Cutler we can get.
No, he plays for...
Mookie
Betts?
He was
in the World Series last year.
Tony Kemp?
He was... hold on, I'm thinking. Dang it, I can't remember. Maybe he played for the Mariners. Jeez, Seager? No, I don't remember.
Segura?
Oh, he played with the Cubs. He played with the Cubs.
Zobrist.
Let me tweet Zobrist, see if he can come.
Okay.
That'd be fun to talk about baseball.
All that for that. Okay, hit the buzzer.
Now sneeze on to command.
Give me the thing.
No, stop. Hit the buzzer.
Hold on.